Let them have it. Call the Fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
Good morning, good morning. Hey, oh, Sco. All right. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'm in the Carton and Roberts studio now. Just left Boomer and Geo's studio. I don't know. It's just something we do. We switch. We start a new day in the Mike Francesa studio. And positive energy on this new day, right? March 9th is over. Aaron Boone's birthday is over. We got the news about the Yankees' injuries. The season is over. I'm joking. I'm kidding. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. But let's switch gears a little bit and talk hoops. Speaking of injuries, Brunson's injury. If this is a lingering thing, you're really going to understand how valuable this young man is to the team. They were able to knock off the Celtics without him, but I think they just caught a Celtics team on the front end of a back-to-back, a Celtics team that the Nets beat up on Friday before the nationally televised game that Sunday night. And if you look at the standings, maybe you don't want to look at the standings, but yeah, when I'm looking at these Eastern Conference standings right now, the Knicks are 39-28, the Nets are 37-29, and that's why the stupid Nets shouldn't have punted that game. Let's get back to the phone. Lisa's in Irvington, New Jersey. Welcome back, Lisa.
Oh, hi, Keith. How are you?
I'm good. All things considered, it might sound like I'm not doing great, but I'm actually like fantastic. But you know, got to host the show and put some emotion into it.
Yeah, I was kind of upset about the Nets game tonight. You know, I'm a Nets fan. Why didn't he put like a couple of the starters back in? I mean, I know you said he's kind of resting them for the game tomorrow night against Minnesota, but who going to say they're going to beat Minnesota tomorrow night? You know what I'm saying? They should have went all out to try to win this game.
I'm right there with you, but I took the moral victory. There was one point I tweeted out from Talking Nets, like, this is a moral victory already. Like, you know, I appreciate the pride and effort these guys played with, but I knew that they were waving the white flag. And that's what frustrated me, because it's like,
yeah, but
we can't be frustrated because they punted the game 2 days ago. 2 days ago, now 3 days ago, we learned that they were going to sit guys. And the Bucks are the number one team in the league. And when you're watching that game, right, and when I look at the minutes, the starters all played under,
I don't know,
12
how many
minutes. Nerlens Noel played 18 because this is only his third game with the team. But they let all the young boys run. And when I heard Jacques Vaughn in the post game, he said that it was like strategy, like these guys with fresh legs. You know, those guys weren't beating the Bucks, and the Bucks weren't allowing them to win. Even though it was close, they got the win. And I understand Nets fans were frustrated on Nets Twitter. And I'm like, I don't know what y'all expected. They punted the game 3 days ago. They told you that they weren't playing Claxton. They weren't playing Cam Johnson, Spencer Dinwiddie, Royce O'Neal. So what does that tell you about what to expect? Expect G League players. But what did you think watching the game? I'm not going to hold you. I did not watch the game.
Me neither.
Like,
you know what?
Closely.
To be honest with you, I can't really. I don't sit and watch a whole Nets basketball game anymore. I'll switch back and forth. I say, oh, you know,
yeah,
so
you
got really
to protect your peace.
Really,
you got to protect your own energy. You got to make sure you have a good night.
I really started watching it towards like the end of the game. I'm like, oh, you know, so I switch back and forth a lot of times. I'll go online. I'll see what the score is. But to sit through and watch a whole game, because, you know, basketball is just not like it used to be. They run up and down the court and keep shooting three-pointers.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Jacques Vaughn should really give Cam, Cam Johnson? Is it Johnson?
Cam Thomas, yeah. We've been mixing up the two Cams now.
I know. He needs to give him more playing time, because he really, you know, to me, he really has talent. He really can play.
Did you hear what he said about why he hasn't been starting Cam, or hasn't given?
No, I didn't hear what he said. I didn't hear that.
And I don't really believe this either, because, like, when I saw, we did the Talking Nets podcast today, and we guessed the starting lineup. And we were wrong by two players. I didn't expect Seth Curry to get a start. He's been terrible. I didn't expect Joe Harris to get the start, but he's a veteran. I won't say he's been terrible. He's actually been better since the bright lights of KD and Kyrie are gone.
But Jacques Vaughn said that second-year player Cam Thomas, he doesn't want him to have to guard guys like Drew Holiday or Chris Middleton, veterans in the league. Like, he's trying to save him from getting cooked. He's trying to save him. I guess, but, like, he's got to learn at some point.
He got to learn. You know what I'm saying?
You're not
going to
get better at guarding guys, that are not the top of the league. Like, that's where Cam wants to be, one of the top players in the league. So, like, it's the NBA. I don't know. The Nets right now are doing a lot of pretending. Ben Simmons, every update about Ben Simmons, I'm like, will they go ahead?
They can't. I don't know how that works. They can't buy him out of his contract. I don't know how that contract. I think he has, is it 2 more years?
He's got a bunch of years on that contract. That's a stupid contract.
Buy him out. I don't know. And I was just so like, they could have had that. Because nobody could, at the end, they couldn't get a stop. They couldn't, you know what I'm saying? And then Brooke Lopez, oh my God, that's 1 hour that we drafted. And he's blocking shots.
Did it to us.
Oh my God. It was so bad.
Did it to us. Was celebrating. It was his night tonight.
And you heard what happened to KD. He got hurt again. You heard that, right?
Of course. I was live. I was live when it happened. And I let everybody know. I'm like,
what?
I don't want to put this out there the wrong way.
But it's karma. I mean, I don't, you know.
You said
karma.
It, not me.
It's karma. I don't like seeing anybody getting hurt. But that was like a freak accident. And then you see, what's his name, Luka Doncic, whatever his name is. Something happened with his thigh. But they said he did an MRI on tonight that he should be okay.
After the game last night, Kyrie went on Twitch and had a whole long rant about everything from the kids that are making Teslas to the gambling and how it's ruining basketball, to how people see him for 3 hours and think they know him.
Right. I read a little bit of that online, too. I was like, what? I said, what is he talking about now? I'm like, he just needs to go somewhere and shut up. I mean, I don't like telling people what to do.
No, but real.
People, you know what I'm saying? These are athletes. To be honest, what he's saying, we really don't know them personally. But just look, you know, because everybody call in and try to give their opinion. I mean, he has a point to a certain extent. But like you said, we don't know, you know, these people, you know, behind.
Nobody asked him for a live. And when he was with the Nets, he used to go live on Instagram. But Instagram started regulating him after the anti-Semitic stuff. I remember they shut his account down, and we thought he was going dark to lock in the basketball. We're like, Kyrie deleted all his posts. He's going dark. And he came out to say, no, they're playing with my account. So he went live on Twitch last night to, like, put a message out there, and he said a whole bunch of nothing.
Twitch. What is that? Is that a new one? Because I'm not too much into the social media stuff.
Twitch.
I'm not on Instagram. I barely go on Facebook. So I don't really like the social media. So what is that? I never heard of that.
Go to twitch.tv if you'd like to find out. When I first heard of Twitch, maybe a decade ago, it was for gamers. It was for gamers to have other people watch them play video games.
Oh, okay.
But
now it's
turned into YouTube. Now it's literally TV. There are just as many people watching things on Twitch as watching cable TV. TVs. It's just digital TV in a way. There's whatever you want to find on there, search it, you could probably find it.
Right. Oh, okay. So it's like YouTube. Okay, all right then. And one more thing I wanted to get to, Daniel Jones, I know people are gonna talk that out, but I mean he's okay, but he's not, you know, one of the top, you know, quarterbacks in the league. But
not yet.
You know, I guess we'll do, you know, like I said, I just don't see it. You know what I'm saying? But another thing I wanted to bring to your attention, I read online because I was trying to figure out, like, why do they make their salaries public? Anyway, all sports. And I was reading online, they were saying something like the players demanded it or they wanted to know. But to me, they should keep that, like, in-house. Because to me, you know, this is your private information. Like, why is this being spread all across
really.
The world? Somebody knowing your salary.
We put a lot of money into those organizations. I'd like to know where it's going and how it's broken up.
But wait, they're not public service. You know what I'm saying? I understand what you're saying. But, you know, people spend. But I went online. Basically, they get all their money from the TV. Like, the money that you pay in the merchandise. That's what they were saying. And basically, the money, their salaries come from those contracts, the TV contracts.
Yeah, TV
deals.
But in
a way, you still pay for that because if you buy, you know, if they do advertising, you buy different products. In a way, the money does still come from the public. But still, to me, that's, you know, that's private. But, you know, I guess it's here nor there.
No, we need to know. It's business, right? There now, because of the money that Daniel Jones is getting, this whole thing sparked up around Lamar Jackson, which I don't think Daniel Jones has anything to do with Lamar Jackson. But people are saying, wait, no one wants Lamar Jackson? And Daniel Jones is getting $160 million? What world are we living in?
Yeah. I don't know. I just don't think it's something that we... Well, that's just my opinion. Debating people's, these people say, I mean, we know they make a lot of money, you know what I'm saying? And you setting them up, people setting them up for like Target, you know, you know they make a lot of money. All they can say is this, oh, they signed. That's all the public to me really needs to know. They signed a contract and let the players within the sport
it would get out anyway, because the rest of the teams need to know, the rest of the agents need to know, the rest of the GMs need to know.
But I'm saying keep it within the people that really needs to know the salaries, not the public.
I feel like it's been public my entire life. It's going to always be public, and I'm cool with that. I want to know. I want to know how much money exactly. Like, I got the details all the way down to, like, every nook and cranny of what Daniel Jones can potentially make. That's why you said he's not one of the top quarterbacks. I said, yeah, he's going to work to try and be top 10 because he's going to make more if he can be top 10 or top 5.
And I got one more point. I know you got to go. I know you said you had some Kyrie Irving
I got t-shirts, jerseys, sneakers. They're all in a bag. I got to drop them off somewhere.
I'm in my 50s. I've been watching sports since I was a kid. Football, I know. Since I never, like, if people buy some, this is my personal opinion. Buy a general jersey, like something that says, because these players, they switch teams. Every time you turn around, like, you know, they on one team, and then you have all these just different
jerseys. You're smarter than me.
With the different players. Like, I'm getting ready to buy some Mets, you know, products. But I'm just getting a general t-shirt. From your general, whatever I'm going to
buy
get.
Some tickets. The Mets promos, I was talking about it yesterday.
Yeah, I'm going to the Mets game.
The Mets promo giveaways are the best set of giveaways I've seen for a team in any sport, any league.
Right.
Like,
right.
I was going through their giveaways. I'm like, they're giving out basketball jerseys, football jerseys, sunglasses. I'm a bobbleheads collector. That's standard. But, like,
I'm definitely going to some Mets game this year.
Yeah, they have a ridiculous rollout. I don't understand how they don't sell tickets. They're going to sell a bunch of tickets. But those giveaways, yeah, those are elite.
One more point. When I went to the Mets game, I saw all these people with Jacob DeGrom, and now he's not even there now. I said, so where they going? People, they still wear they still wear the jersey with his name.
They wear it, or they put some tape over and put Verlander.
I saw so many jerseys with that name on the back. I'm like, just buy something to say the Mets.
That seemed like a good investment for a Mets fan to get a DeGrom jersey.
I'm getting ready to buy me some Mets sneakers. I'm getting ready to buy me a Mets. Like t-shirt, I'm getting buying all, like, but it's just gonna be Mets. I'm not buying nothing with nobody's name on it. So that way, if somebody leaves, they're gone.
You're smarter than me. Kyrie being from New Jersey,
I know, coming
to play for the Nets. They sold me on all that stuff. I was like, this is our hometown hero.
All right, nice talking to you. And hopefully the Nets. But I think I was sitting here watching the Knicks game. They was making a comeback. I don't know what the score is now. But
it's 103-96. They're not going to come.
Yeah, okay. I'm just looking at it right. Yeah. So they made a comeback. So, okay. Nice talking to you. And I'll probably, you know, call you, you know, in the next couple of weeks or so. Take care.
Thanks for the call, Lisa. And I don't want to say that the Knicks are not going to come back, because anything can happen. We've seen crazier things. They're not down by that much. But I just think that they're going to be closed out. Let me look at the score right now. Who's doing the scoring for the Knicks with Brunson out? RJ, right? I said, can RJ kick up? Yeah, RJ's got 19. Julius got 17. I'm not even watching that anymore. I'm in here watching college basketball, which I really like. I gotta tap in, and I should be placing bets, but I'm trying to save my money for the tournament instead of betting on the conference tournament. Imagine St. John's actually knocked off Marquette today, and you bet that game. But yeah, there's 6 minutes left. And the Knicks are only down 7, so I don't want to say that they can't come back. They're out of it. But I think that without Brunson, the Kings are going to close them out. What else? Man, those promos, I was talking about it if you heard my show yesterday. The Mets are taking everything to the next level. Steve Cohen was not lying when he said he wanted to have the best fan experience. And when I saw the promos, like, you know, just casually on Twitter looking through them, I'm like, wait, they're giving out bucket hats? What is a ghost fork ball? All right, you can get a crossbody Mets bag. That's swaggy. I have a couple crossbody bags that I wear to the games. I just think it's cool, man. That Howie Rose bobblehead, it's a talking bobblehead with a stack of books and him right up putting it. I'm like, come on, yo. That's an elite level bobblehead for anyone, any collector, any baseball fan, any New Yorker, if you've got respect for Howie Rose, which of course I do. And then that Black Panther Starling Marte bobblehead, I need that. I'm a comic book guy, love Black Panther 1 and 2. Starling Marte, like, that's sweet. And so, yeah, you know, Yankees got to step it up. They won't. They'll roll out their little, Yankees tote bag, and they'll roll out, like, Magnet Day. And maybe we'll get some cool bobbleheads, but you got to get to the stadium at 5:30 for that to happen for you. Mets got it, you know, they got to figure it out. I can't hate on them. And we're going to get into the season real soon. We'll see again, right? Don't touch the money, everybody. We don't need a Subway Series, but we need one of these teams to win a World Series and bring a parade back. I got some slack from when I was on Carton and Roberts talking about going to the World Series parade if the Mets win. I'm 100% going. I'm not going to go there and wear all Yankees gear. I'm definitely not going to wear any Mets gear, but if there any team that wins a championship in this city, I'm going to lay eyes on that parade. I've been up here for a decade thinking that the Yankees were going to get it done. Whoever wins, I'm going to see what those parties are like. I'm going to see what those floats are like. I'm going to see what that atmosphere is like. I don't know when the Yankees are going to get back to the top of the mountain. The Mets might figure it out. Honestly, I don't think the Mets or the Yankees win the World Series this year. But who knows? What do I know? Call me up if you know. 877-337-6666. Let's get back to the phone. Gary's in North Salem on the fan. Hello, Gary.
Hey, Keith, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
Before I want to get into, long-time listener of the fan, and I just switched to the night shift at my job, too, a little over a year ago. So I've been listening to you from the beginning, man, and you've gotten better and better as the time has gone on. So
thank
keep
you.
Up the good job. Congrats on being a dad. I'm 40. Got
Thank
two
you.
Kids, two boys of my own, two stepkids, two dogs.
Love. You got a lot of love in your life. I'm trying to add some love. Hopefully my son likes me.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot, but I wouldn't trade it for the world, man. So I'm a diehard Giants fan and Mets fan. And, you know, listening to you last night about Daniel Jones. You know, it's a lot of money, yeah, but what are you going to do? What else is out there? He's our guy. And I feel, you know, he will get better because you have to develop these guys over the years. You know, bad coaching in the beginning, offensive coordinator stunk, you know, and now he's got a stable system. You know, these guys, over the years, like, I've seen what it takes to win Super Bowls, you know what I mean? Like, you got to have, you know, the talent on both sides of the ball, obviously. But, you know, with Daniel Jones, I mean, I can just see him getting better and better. Like, you know, he's not, you know, one year, you know, okay, did good, but, you know, let's just see what we could do after this, you know. I mean, it's a year by year.
This is the story of Daniel Jones, right? He's been underestimated from when he came out of high school, didn't have that many offers. He goes to Duke, and he's playing on the Duke football team in the ACC, where almost all the teams that he plays are better than him. They have better the teams are better than his, and the quarterback on the other side is better than him, and he's going up against better defenses. He always had to fight and overcome.
Yeah, he's a big kid, you know.
He shouldn't have been drafted 6th overall. We all can agree that.
Yeah.
When you're looking at that draft, what quarterback was taken ahead of him? Kyler Murray was the number one overall pick.
I know.
Would you rather have paid that ridiculous contract that they gave Kyler Murray, or would you be cool with what they ended up giving Daniel Jones? I think Daniel Jones earned that contract. They dragged this kid through the mud. He had to deal with different coaches, different coordinators, and these New York fans that were on him the last few years. Oh, he's terrible. He's trash. He turns the ball over. Oh, what a bust. This guy's not a bust. This guy led the team this year to the playoffs and won a game.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be better next year. I think another year in this system, another year with Daboll, and now he's got his money. This guy's never leaving the facility. He never leaves.
Yeah.
By week, guys are breaking their hands on ATVs. He's in there training. He's in there watching film.
Yeah.
He's in there yesterday when they signed the deal, right? There was a chance that the deal didn't get done. He's in the building working out.
Yep.
That's the guy you pay.
That's what you want to see.
That's the guy you pay.
It is what it is. Yeah, it's the guy you pay. The money, it is what it is. But, you know, put guys around them. Hopefully settle, you know, with Saquon. And you know, even though that was a reach to it, too. But whatever. You know, he's great, you know, to pay him or whatever. But what you say about the Mets, the giveaways, I'm a dire Mets fan. I've been to a ton of Shea games for giveaway days, the little bats, you know. What they're doing is great with the giveaways with the Mets, man. And Steve Cohen and building it up, you know, it's great. But when it comes to the Mets, I see it when I believe it, man. I mean,
you've been hurt many times before. It's hard. Yeah, it's hard to actually believe.
Until I see it, and then I will believe it. You know, diehard Mets fan, my whole family, we know. And I enjoyed last season all summer long, man. Great, great, great. And I just had it in the back of my head, when are they going to Mets? When are they going to Mets? And they Mets on the last weekend series of the season. And I knew once Scherzer gave up the two bombs in game one, the series was over. It was over. And anybody said to me, two more games, I said, they're not winning. It's over. So it don't matter who they bring in, who goes with being a Mets fan, man. I see it when I believe it. And you were saying last night about the Jets still going for Lamar Jackson. I agree 100%. Because this is why the Jets stink. They're going to get Aaron Rodgers, have him for 2 years, then you're going to have a quarterback, then you're going to need another quarterback. There's no stability with the Jets.
And what if Aaron Rodgers plays his worst football of his career at 39? What if he sucks?
Exactly. And I love the Jet fans. One of my best friends are Jet fans. And I just love when they say, we're a quarterback away. Since when are the Jets a quarterback away from anything? They're like, I don't even think, like, Robert Saleh is not out coaching Andy Reid in any big game. He's not out coaching the Bills coach, the Bengals. Like, come on. Like,
no.
They have talent.
The Rams were a quarterback away.
Right.
And then they went and got Stafford, and they didn't stop there. They got Von Miller. They got Odell Beckham Jr. They loaded up that team that already had Jalen Ramsey, Aaron Donald, Cooper Kupp.
Yeah. We're fan base is almost the same. So you got to see it with, you know, when you see it, then believe. Because when the Jets haven't been in the playoffs in 12 years, like, you know, good defense that, you know, lost 8 games in a row last season. Like, come on, man. Like, even if you get Rodgers, you got this whole package. And you just, I would just go for Lamar Jackson, man. Even though he's injury prone, he's a lot younger. He's an MVP. And you could build on that.
I think they can do potentially both, right? It's funny today, and thank you for the call, Gary. It's funny today that news came out that the Jets were talking to the Ravens. They made a deal today. They made a trade today. The Ravens traded for safety Chuck Clark in exchange for a 2024 seventh-round pick. So they're already having communication with DaCosta and Douglas. What do you say about Lamar Jackson? I don't know. So, you know what? Sal Licata had Sean King on his show last night. Yes, I do go home and listen to Sal Licata. You should listen to Sal Licata as well. You should just keep WFAN on until you fall asleep, till you know, wake up and listen again. But I enjoyed his conversation with Sean King so much last night, listening to a former NFL quarterback that's obviously covering the game really talk about Lamar Jackson and what's going on with Lamar Jackson. I've been dipping my toe in it, but I understand everybody wants to talk Aaron Rodgers because that's been the conversation here for the last 50 days. But when we actually look at it, Aaron Rodgers right now, no one else wants but the Jets. So they can't get fleeced. They can't get finessed. They can't give up everything to the Packers if there's no other suitors. The Jets should have the leverage. And if that doesn't go exactly how the Jets want, they should be doing their due diligence and checking on the Lamar Jackson situation. And I don't know. Depends on what you think, right? Lamar Jackson is 26. Aaron Rodgers is 38. One guy is dynamic running the ball. One guy is an all-time talent throwing the ball. When you look at last season, Aaron Rodgers didn't have all the weapons. I feel like Aaron Rodgers didn't have a good year, and some of that is on him. I heard Sean King say it. He's like, they lost in a game to win, and you're in, and who played bad? Aaron Rodgers. When you see them fail in the playoffs, Aaron Rodgers hasn't been to a Super Bowl in over a decade. Like, I feel like so many people are living in the past with him. And yeah, he did recently win two MVPs, not last season, but the two before then. It was different times, folks. Those COVID times into freshly out of COVID times. I'm telling you, more and more I look back at things we were doing today that just passed, made it 3 years since that Utah Jazz game where Oklahoma City was about to face off against the Utah Jazz and Rudy Gobert was touching the mics and then he came down with COVID and they emptied the arena. And I'm like, wow. I remember exactly where I was sitting in my living room watching that. And that's when it became real to me. The NBA is suspended indefinitely. What do you mean? You can't suspend the NBA? Wait, this coronavirus is going to stop the NBA games? No! Fast forward to where we are now. That time was a different time, man. I also heard Sean King talk about Zach Wilson and how they overdrafted. They reached for him. He was never that player. And I was screaming that. I was telling you guys, he played against, I don't even know who he played against, Western Michigan and Coastal Carolina. And the way Sean King phrased it, he said he didn't play against one Power 5 conference school in a COVID year where there's nobody in the stands. He throws one ball in shorts, and everybody goes crazy over this kid, and they put him, bink, right under Trevor Lawrence. How did he jump Justin Fields, Trey Lance, Mac Jones, all these other guys? That was a mistake. And here the Jets are, and they have to do what they're doing right now because of that mistake. You had a number two overall pick. You also had a top pick with Sam Darnold. So I guess you're done picking quarterbacks as far as the draft goes. You want a veteran guy. If Woody absolutely wants Aaron Rodgers, I think he can have him. All signs are pointing to a perfect match. The only match. If he wants to keep playing, there's only one team that's looking for him right now, the Jets. But Lamar Jackson, I'd be checking on too. Because if you want to make a play right now for the future, the extended future, I get it, Lamar Jackson has been injured. I get it that people want to say he quit on the team. But Lamar Jackson is a freak of nature. He's different. You just saw what Jalen Hurts was able to do this year with talent around him. You put Lamar Jackson on the Eagles, they're winning the Super Bowl. They're obviously getting to the Super Bowl with Jalen Hurts, but like Lamar Jackson is a difference maker. He runs the ball different. He throws the ball different. Like, don't let Miami get that kid. 877-337-6666. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I got 90 minutes. Call me up. We can talk whatever you want to talk. I'll be right back.
We're down to 50 seconds left in the fourth quarter. Starts.
This happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
What a move by Starks!
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Well, on the hoop side, I guess we'll have to take moral victories tonight. Keith McPherson on the Fan. That Knicks game is coming to an end. Let me double check that score right now. It's 119-115. I think there's 14 seconds left looking at NBA.com. I'm watching SNY in here, not watching that game anymore. But the Knicks did fight back. They were down like 20-26 or something like that. And they showed heart. No pun intended. Josh Hart, 14 rebounds. Like, Josh Hart is one of the best rebounding, like, I don't want to call him like smaller guys, but he's not a big to be rebounding like that, to have 14 rebounds. Sabonis had 13 rebounds. And for Josh Hart to have 14 rebounds, like, he gets after it. That's all hustle. That's all want to. That's why you like a guy like that on your team. RJ's got 23, Randall's got 23, but I told you they're going to light that beam. That's what they do out there, the beam team, Sacramento. Sacramento is looking to end their drought. And I think once that happens this year, I think it leaves the Jets with the longest playoff drought. Yeah, it's been 16 seasons since the Kings went back to the postseason playoffs. And I think once they end that this year, you're looking at the Jets going on potentially 13 years without a playoff appearance. I said we got moral victories on the basketball side, but actual exciting victories on the hockey side. I opened up the show trying to talk hockey, trying to talk some puck, because all our local teams won. You don't care? I get it. Like, I didn't care about hockey 2 years ago. I care now. Comes with the territory. In my opinion, it's part of the job. You should know what's going on a little bit. And the Islanders rallied back. The Islanders knock off the Penguins 4-3 in overtime. The Rangers also win 4-3 in a shootout. Patrick Kane night, big night for him. Goal, assist, first win in that Rangers uniform. And the Devils, Dawson Mercer, how about that kid? The Devils win in a shootout 3-2. If you want to talk puck, it's wide open still. I'm on till 2 a.m. Just dropped my water trying to get to Ross in Bergen County. What's up, Ross?
Bro, Keith, thanks for taking the call, bro. I'm sitting here, I'm laughing. You got my tweet about Curry?
Yo, what is going on? Right, is he around the wrong people? Jack Curry is hacked again?
This poor guy, bro. Yeah, his IG gets hacked. It's some crook again. The last time some crooks took his Twitter account, now they got his IG account. And a few minutes ago, I saw Jeff Passan's Twitter account got hacked by some NFT scammers. So this is an absolute train wreck on the socials tonight for the reporters.
I'm looking right now. And I'm cool with Jack.
Yeah, got reported by some of those skull NFTs, too.
You guys got to get the two-factor authentication on your Twitters, on your Instagrams, prominent reporter, whatever. But that, I don't know. Jack is definitely
asleep.
Send me
down that rabbit hole with the check marks.
Last time we did this on air, Jack Curry's Twitter got hacked. And I was trying to text some people that could potentially get to him. But he's sleeping. There's no way he's awake right now.
Oh, yeah. They take advantage of him. They do it late at night because they know he doesn't have a hold of that account. They're reckless with it. It's unbelievable, bro. Anyway, you brought up the hockey, though. You know, I was calling in. Listen, bro, Showtime finally shows up, goal and assist up in Montreal. And, you know, when that game first started, you know, I think it was 30 or so seconds in, Igor lets in a soft game. Like, you got to be kidding me, bro, Chesty. You know, don't pull another stinker tonight. You know, Montreal, you know, one of the worst teams in the league. They're clearly rebuilding. Former Ranger Marty St. Louis behind the bench. But, you know, they tie it up. And, you know, at no point in that game did the Rangers lead until the score was final. You know, they take in the shootout. And at the end of the day, look at the game. Obviously, another one kind of like the Flyer game a few weeks back. You know, they needed OT to beat the Flyers. Obviously, tonight, needing a shootout to take the game against Montreal, take the 2 points in Montreal. But, you know, at the end of the day, a win's a win. You look at the way the Metro's shaping up. They don't really need the regulation overtime, you know, tiebreaker. At this point, it's basically a race for the points. You know, the Islanders are, you know, kind of caught up when we were going on we had our little skids for a couple of weeks. All of a sudden, you know, the Isles are breathing down our necks. But we have like two or three games in hand on them. Islanders got the most games played in the East so far. So we got the games in hand. And then, you know, rounded out with the Devils you brought up. Them taking the shootout in Washington. And, you know, Timo, I'll say one thing about, you know, Patty Kane starting off, you know, kind of to a slow start, you know, two games, not a single point, -4, you know, Devil fans are having a field day with those numbers. You know, I see some of them, too, bringing up, you know, some of them, you know, their finger lingering over the panic button with Timo. I mean, he had some costly penalties that Toronto game. He had the penalty that led to Austin Matthews getting the game winner on that power play. I see tonight he had one in overtime. You know, luckily they got away with no harm in overtime, but he had a penalty there like a minute ago. But you know what? He makes up for it with the shootout winner.
Won the game for us.
Right. And even, you know, going back to Patty Kane, his first goal comes a minute and a half after basically handing Montreal the go-ahead goal, their third goal of the game. Just completely misplayed a puck off the boards. You know, one of the Habs takes it for an on-man rush and they take the lead. But a minute later, what does he do? You know, he's been in this league for a decade plus. He knows the deal, you know. And, you know, the post-game shows bring it up, too. You know, you see this kid line, Laf Hedel Kotka, you know, bringing this, you know, veteran caliber player. He's been in this league for so long. He's seen, you know, the ups and downs. Obviously, the ups being a cup championship, the lows being this year, as recent as this year when they were one of the worst teams in the league. And, you know, you got it at the right time. But even Lafreniere, you know, there were articles when he got drafted of him looking up to Patrick Kane being one of his favorite players growing up. And, you know, now them being teammates, both having goals tonight. But, you know, that, you know, just barely blanking and seeing the game all tied up once again at the hand, with the stick of one player giving up a goal basically, and then a minute and a half later going to the other side of the ice and tying it up. I mean, that's basically what he's been doing his whole career.
Yeah, and to add to the Rangers talk and the Devils talk, and obviously the Islanders won tonight, the Bruins lost.
Yeah, bro, I caught the end of that game. They blew a 2-0 lead. I don't know if it was a third period lead or just a 2-0 lead in general, but Edmonton took that one late, bro. And actually, McDavid skated off like a minute or two left in the game, skated off with I heard it was like a friendly fire, knee to knee, but he was down for like the last 10 or so seconds of the game trying to get an empty netter. But yeah, bro, that's a rarity. You see a Bruins loss nonetheless in regulation, let alone, you know, a loss in general. I mean, this day, you know, this season, it just seems to be a rarity. It's crazy. You saw that game on Saturday. I mean, look, they look like world beaters, and, you know, it's
anybody can,
you know,
be
given
beat.
Respect.
Anybody,
but you look
can
at a yeah. I don't know if you were as big on it in 2019. Actually, I know you weren't. But you know, Tampa Bay Lightning, they were shattering all sorts of regular season records. They had, I think, 126 points. I'm pretty sure was the all time record for regular season points. They did not take a single game against the Columbus Blue Jackets in round one. They just got swept out of the water. You know, blink of an eye. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good night. And they were out of there. All those records just down the piece of dough, meant nothing. And then back-to-back years after that, they win their cups. But, you know, that one year when they were, you know, far and away the best team in the league on the top pedestal, and they did absolutely nothing with it. You know, I kind of see similar signs pointing to this Boston team. You know, on paper, all signs point to them being unstoppable. Who's stopping this team on the offense, you know, on the defense side of the puck? Linus Ullmark having a career year. But, you know, there's a such thing as a President's Trophy curse. Well, look it up. I think the last team to win the President's Trophy and go on to win the Cup was the 2013 Blackhawks. So the curse is definitely real, man. But listen, brother, the great night for local hockey. If you want to count the Sabres, they let up 10 goals. But in terms of the tri-state area, bro, you get me.
Can't
get much better than that.
Can't count the Sabres, bro. They're not local. Yeah, they're far.
They got the MSG rights, but were they like six or seven hours away? I mean, it's basically Canada.
Pretty much. Thanks for the call, Ross. Appreciate it, bro. Speaking of curses, right? Earlier, I was talking about this Joey Gallo curse. And I got that from Yankees Twitter. You know, people are just trying to figure out, you know, what's happening to the Yankees. What's happening to these players that have been acquired via trade after Joey Gallo. Benintendi got hurt, right? You trade for another left fielder. He wears one. He's done. He plays for a month. Harrison Bader was damaged goods when we got him, but he was able to, you know, shake that off and have a strong showing. So he's a player you get excited about, right? Especially when you look at the Yankees offseason and you say, it's the same team. They didn't really do much. Well, I say, well, Harrison Bader, consider him like a new player. He only played a month here. He'll have a full season here. And that was the blow today that I think really put some Yankees fans over the edge as far as like, all right, Cashman, I've had enough. Bader on top of Rodon, on top of Canely, on top of, you know, Montas already, right? We were talking about the Yankees after they signed Carlos Rodon as having the best rotation in baseball. Well, they're down two guys. Ed is in Bayside on the Fan. What's up, Ed?
Hey, Keith, how are you? I really enjoy your show. And I like that you're such a big Yankee fan. I've had season tickets for 16 years.
Awesome.
Let me tell you something.
Where do you sit, if you don't mind me asking?
I sit in, we're in 420C.
Mm-hmm. That's a
you
great
know, maybe
spot.
Maybe you could come out because you meet all the fans. I'd love to meet you.
I'm always quietly up there, and my friend Joni sits in like 422. So you'll see me. You'll definitely
okay,
see me.
Okay, I know what
if
you look like.
If you're looking for me, yeah. So, I'm always, when I need a spot to go to kind of like clear my head and be able to see everything and not be, you know, in the bleachers or in the suites or whatever, I will find a seat somewhere nice. In like 420, 422 area.
Beautiful. So you've been talking about the Yankees. First of all, I cannot stand Cashman. I've met him. He's a wonderful guy. He's an inept GM. I call him Genius Cashman. People call up, oh, this guy's great. I could tell you stories. I'd be on for an hour. Kayagawa, he hires a firm to get Kayagawa. He's got this guy, Marty Miller, I looked it up in 07, who told the Yankees players not to stretch. They were all pulling their hamstrings. Now we go to the present. He hired Mike Fishman. That's why Joey Gallo was a Yankee. They're all analytics. Mm-hmm. Howell will tell you no, but they're all analytics. And Cashman brought him in, and I saw an interview during the Winter League meetings. The guy babbles. He doesn't have a clue of what he's talking about. What's his name? Donaldson at third. All these stats that you were saying that they loved. The guy was done. You could see that he's done. They could tell you anything they want.
He's done right now. We're about to see him again.
He can't hit the fastball. He's done. You know?
I was laughing with Marco. Marco's like, they're going to have to A-Rod him. they're gonna have to tell him, hey, bro, we understand that there's more money and more time on this contract, but we can't have you. We can't have you here. So what do you want to do? I look at Cashman and I'm like, how does one man not get held responsible, accountable for all of these things?
Because Hal is afraid to say goodbye, and what he could have done was said, we're going in a new direction, thank you, and brought in Sabian, which they did. The guy is a real genius. Now, another thing here, I don't want to leave out my other favorite player, Barren, Barren Hicks. I look at this guy, and I hear he's a good player. He's never been good. The year he hit 27 home runs, the ball was souped up. And today, Cone goes, well, he looks good this spring. He dropped the ball in left field.
Yeah.
He's terrible. He can't hit and he can't field. What is, you know, they got to sell you the BS, Keith. And that's what aggravates
and
me.
I don't know what night it was where I had a moment where I just like, talked about Aaron Hicks dropping that ball because some people are like, oh, you're overreacting. No, wow. We're not. That's a routine fly ball. This is Major League Baseball. This is the New York Yankees. This guy can't make a routine play because he's nonchalantly like overrunning the ball and like puts his glove, like his mechanics, his techniques all flawed. And he doesn't have that type of runway. You have no margin for error, bro. Like, you have to be perfect or you're getting booed off the field. So to watch Aaron Hicks in spring training drop a pop-up, it shows me that he is not locked in on every single pitch and taking it as serious as it needs to be. That's not
he should go play golf.
That's not a mistake. That's a guy that's just nonchalantly out there, and there's no sense of urgency. There's no sense or threat of, like, mm-hmm. I could lose my place here. He's dropping a pop-up in spring training that there are a bunch of outfielders out there running around. Those kids would not drop because they're trying to make the team or be seen or get an opportunity.
Absolutely. And one last thing. They're definitely – I feel it in my bones, so I know what they're going to do. Peraza's got a chance. Volpe's going down. They're going to send them down. When they if we had a smart GM, see what you could get for Glaber – and put Volpe at second, and put, Peraza at short. Now, when they were playing the Cardinals, the announcers said that the Cardinals go ahead of time. They bring these guys up. But like you said, the Yankees think they invented the game. They think they're brilliant. This comes from Cashman, by the way, because he's gotten really full of himself.
How smart was he with signing his guy, Aaron Judge? The guy that...
he's done that. Listen, Keith, do you remember he wouldn't sign Jeter in the middle of the year?
Yeah.
He wouldn't sign Judge. He wouldn't sign Mo.
Bernie Williams.
Signed Hicks in the middle of the year. The guy is clueless. He's done damage to the team. He's become inept. Maybe one time he was a good GM. And I'll tell you, I'm sorry to say this. I love the Yankees. They will not go to World Series with him in charge because it's the same thing year after year. You know, and one last thing. I look at the minor leagues, and I think I got this right. I go down to a Scranton Wilkes-Barre. I want you to guess how many players on that roster last year, I guess before they brought up Volpe, were 25 years or younger? Just take a guess.
Five?
One. Just keep an eye on what he puts these older players down there. That, you know, baseball players that are 28 are old for baseball. And he's got all these old guys on the roster. That's why they brought in Sabian and Manaea, because Hal knows he can't develop talent. He's clueless. He doesn't know about pitching, but he's smug. He's got all these cute sayings, you know?
Yeah.
It's enough. It's enough. They should have gotten rid of him, and we could have started again with a guy like Sabian.
Yeah, I had a real problem with his comments in Chicago. I tried to let it go, but you're bringing it back to the surface that he tried to say that we're the ones that are spoiled. Our expectations are too high.
Yeah, sure.
The fans in New York, right? How far did we get? You got swept, bro. I was there.
Thank
I watched you get swept in the American League Championship by the same team that's been knocking you out of the American League Championship. How do they figure out how to get there 6 years in a row?
That's why I love you, man, because you can see through all the BS.
Because I'm there.
That's why
I had
to
call. I'm not a season ticket holder,
but
I'm at the game.
I listen to you, and you're the one guy that will not say it's great when it's not.
Nah, because I feel it, you know? Like, I feel what the fans feel. I'm with the creatures in 203.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in Legends with people. I'm in 420. I'm in the suites. I'm all around the stadium for the last, like 8 years. I've been going to 10 games, then 20 games, then 30 games. And from, like, 2018 to now, it's 40, 50 games a year because I'm in the culture. That's just what we do. I have a ton of friends that it's like a family reunion at Yankee Stadium. And we all have these conversations, and we all see through the nonsense, and we're trying to get back to a World Series, right? It's been a long time, but what's stopping us? Little stupid mistakes and decisions from players and personnel, and now we have a ton of talent. We have some young talent. We have some old talent that's signed,
mm-hmm.
whatever. It's just like, when is it going to actually click for these
it's
guys
not,
to get back?
Remember, two words, genius Cashman.
Yeah,
this
smartest
guy
guys
is
in the room.
An app. He's an app. I love your show. Keep up the good work.
Thanks for the call, Ed.
Okay.
I mean, I don't want to turn this into bash Cash. I don't want to turn this into, oh, Brian, because I do give Cashman credit. And I used to be a Cashman guy. But I guess I grew up. You hear me all the time say, you know, Neverland's not real. Peter Pan's got to grow up too. Well, Neverland is this land of thinking that the Yankees are going to go to the World Series and win it every year. Neverland is this imaginary place in Yankees fans' mind that here comes 28. They don't even say chase for 28 anymore. Neverland is thinking that there's going to be a parade through the Canyon of Heroes in early November where we're going to see Judge on a float and Volpe on a float, but it's not real. They have all the resources in the world in New York. They are the Yankees, but they keep coming up short. They keep failing when it comes, bro, I could go on for a long time. And you know what? I don't have that much time. But we're getting into another season real soon. I can't wait. I'm going to step out for a little bit because my son's going to be born. And then when we come back, we'll make the push. And I hope everybody's healthy. It's about October. I understand guys get hurt in spring training. You know why? Because they're sitting around and they're not doing anything. And then they get active and they feel some pain. And I damn sure don't trust these Yankees doctors and medical staff because it's just more of the same. Every year, somebody's hurt. This guy's hurt. They're signing guys that are hurt. They're signing guys that are damaged goods. We'll see what happens. 877-337-6666. I got an hour left. Call me up. I'll be right back.